Welcome to Seeing Eden with Charlotte Anonoju, Life Through Heaven's Lens. So I learned something. A lens is actually defined as a light gathering device. And that's where the tagline for Seeing Eden comes from. Seeing your life, your circumstances, your future through a light gathering device. And what do I mean by that? I mean the Word of God. When we gather up light in the Word of God and shine that light on the situations that we're in, the things that we're facing, the problems that we find difficult to solve, suddenly we have a perspective that we never had before and solutions that we'd never spotted before. Just in case you're wondering who I am, my name is Charlotte Anonoju. Little bit about me. I love baking. I'm a lawyer and an author. I recently released a book called He's Not What I Ordered. I'm a minister in my home church, and I serve on the pastoral team at my home church, House of Inspiration. Well, enough about me. What about Seeing Eden? The concept of Seeing Eden was birthed a long time ago in my mind. I was on the journey towards marriage, and I had a lot of preconceived notions about what my husband would be like, and what I would require or accept in a spouse. And through a really long journey, which is documented in the book, He's Not What I Ordered, I began to realize that the best way to have the best of what God desires for you is to see life through God's eyes. And He's taken me on a really long journey, and I'm definitely not there yet, of trying to analyze why I think the way I think, and what informs my decision making, what frames my points of reference, and are they actually scriptural, biblical? Hence, Seeing Eden. My desire is that as we delve into the Word of God and seek to understand it together and apply it to our lives, we will discover and experience the best of life that God has to offer, that our lives will look more and more like His original blueprint, and that we would experience Eden on a daily basis. On that note, today's topic is relying on God. Now, this is something that I've struggled with for years. I've always been very self-sufficient, and I've always been a planner. I've always worked out how to get from A to B, how much I need to save in order to buy that thing, how many months I have to study in order to pass that test. And so it's been a journey for me, one that I'm still going on, to really get to the point where I can rely on God for everything. And this week I went to visit a man of God, and he told us a story that really resonated with me. He said that he decided at the beginning of the year he needed 4 pairs of shoes. And at the beginning of the year, he decided to pray about his need. And so I assumed that he didn't have the money to buy these pairs of shoes until he said, no, I had the cash, I had the money, but I just like to rely on Jesus for everything, even when I can do it myself. I like for my first port of call to be prayer and asking. And so he prayed for shoes. I was like, okay, that's really admirable. That's good that you know you're relying on Jesus. But then what struck me is that he prayed every day for a whole year for something that he had the means to provide for himself. And he prayed every day, Lord, I know you're able, please provide me with 4 pairs of shoes. Now, I don't know about you guys, but for me, probably after week two, I would have been like, look, this money's burning a hole in my pocket. Now, I know Jesus provided this money, so ergo, he provided the means to buy shoes. Anyway, the story goes like this. This pastor prayed for a whole year and nothing happened. But he didn't lose faith and he didn't doubt or question or try to backpedal and fix it himself. Instead, he just carried on praying. And one day, perhaps a year and 6 months down the line, he heard, as he was walking to the post office, someone call out, "Pastor." And he just didn't think anything of it, went into the post office, came back out, and there was this big, tall man standing in front of him, and he couldn't recognize who he was. And the guy sort of came up to him and, you know, it was really friendly, like he knew who he was. And this young man said to him, "Don't you remember me? I'm so-and-so. I, you know, heard you speak when I was a really little boy, and the message that you preached changed my life." And this pastor had no idea who this guy was, but he was very polite and said, "You know, I'm grateful that God touched you and you seem to be doing really well for yourself. You know, God bless you." Anyway, this young man was determined to bless this pastor. And he said, "You know, I really want to do something for you. You have no idea what impact you've had on my life." And this pastor said, no, I'm fine. My reward is from the Lord. Thank you very much. You know, it's been great to see you." But this young man would not take no for an answer. So eventually he drags this pastor into a shoe shop, totally unprompted. And he says, "You know what? I just want to bless you. Pick a pair of shoes." Now, this pastor had been praying, just to remind you, for 16 to 18 months about these shoes that he needed. And even still, he wouldn't take the opportunity. And he kept telling this young man, "No, I don't need anything from you. Please don't worry about it." So the young man eventually said, "Okay, if you're not going to pick a pair of shoes, I'm going to do it for you." And he called the shop attendant and he picked for the pastor 4 pairs of shoes. And he got them to wrap them up. And these were not cheap shoes. They were expensive, really high quality shoes. And he got them to wrap them up and he blessed them with the pastor and went on his way. Now that story struck me because it was something so small. A pair of shoes, we don't even think about it. I don't think to myself, "Oh, I need a pair of gloves. I'm going to pray about it." I just go out and I buy a pair. But this man of God had gotten to the stage in his life where he had learned to depend on Christ for absolutely every one of his needs, no matter how trivial they might seem. And it really struck me, and God has just been ministering to me over this past week about relying on him for everything, in absolutely every situation. And it's not easy because our human nature tells us to do things for ourselves. Our human nature tells us to do things for ourselves. In fact, we're taught, you know, it's survival of the fittest. But actually, that's not what the Bible says. So let's turn to what the Word of God says. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Trust in the Lord. I don't know, when I was little, I don't know if you would have done this, but I remember being in the playground and playing this game called Trust Falls. And you would have someone stand behind you where you couldn't see them, and you would just free fall and into their arms, fall backwards and let them catch you. And you would just fall backwards and let them catch you. And it was that moment of exhilaration. Am I going to fall and smack my head on the ground, or is this person actually going to catch me? How many times in life do we give God the opportunity to catch us? Do we ever really take those kinds of leaps of faith in our careers, in our family life, with our finances, in ministry? Do we ever jump such that we give God the opportunity to give us a testimony in our lives. Trust in the Lord. And what about the second bit? With all your heart. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a hard one for me. I'm very analytical. I'm always thinking of the consequences and the possibilities and the what ifs. And being trained as a lawyer doesn't help either, because you're always taught to think about every possible scenario that could happen so that you can guard against it in a contract or whatever. But when you trust in the Lord with all your heart, that requires a total turning away from doubt, a total relinquishing of your fears. It kind of even requires you to deny your humanity, knowing that with God, nothing is impossible. And do not lean on your own understanding. This world that we live in teaches us that knowledge is king, that science is infallible, that proof is absolutely required. And all of these things feed into our understanding of the world around us. The problem is that the spiritual world cannot be understood with a logical mind. For years and years, my mentor has been trying to correct that thinking in me. Yes, it's good to be analytical and logical, to be a planner, to seek knowledge and to try and understand the world around you. But when you get to the point in life where you assume that your vantage point is the best possible one, then honestly, pride has snuck in somewhere. There's a song that I really love because the lyrics really resonate with me. It's called King of the World by Natalie Grant. And the chorus goes like this: when did I forget that you've always been the king of the world? I try to take life back right out of the hands of the king of the world. How could I make you so small when you're the one who holds it all? When did I forget that you've always been the king of the world? And that's it really, isn't it? Reliance on God requires us to acknowledge who he really is, how capable he really is, how wise he truly is. To really understand that there's absolutely nothing beyond him, that he sees all, knows all, and is in control of all. And when we get to the point where we truly believe that about our Heavenly Father, the King of the world, creator of heaven and earth, well, it just makes sense. Why wouldn't we trust him, rely on him for everything? And when we have the humility that it takes to recognize our weaknesses and our human frailty, it makes it so much easier to hand things over to him. Now, like I said, I'm only at the beginning of this very long journey in Christendom. But something that I'm realizing is that the day that you let go and let God in any sphere of your life, you will find that you will flourish beyond your wildest dreams. And you will see Eden. I think that's it for today. Tune in next time.
Inside my mind, I try. try to keep you safely in between the lines. I try to put you in the box that I've designed. I try to pull you down so we are eye to eye. When did I forget that you've always been the king of the world? I try to take life back right out of the hands of the king of the world. How could I make you so small when you're the one who holds it all? When did I forget that you've always been the king of the world? Still I run ahead and think I'm strong enough, when you're the one who made me from that dust. When did I forget that you've always been the king of the world? I try to take